World Report Coronavirus Update. I'm Christopher Cruz. Vice President Mike Pence is speaking to the nation's governors on a teleconference this morning in response to their demands for a national coronavirus testing strategy. Health experts say there needs to be a lot of tests before businesses can reopen. On Good Morning America, NIH Dr. Anthony Fauci said he agrees.
We need a partnership between the federal government and the local people, including the governors, to help them get to things that they maybe not have any access to.
But correspondent Natasha Chen in the capital of South Carolina says the governor isn't waiting. He's letting some stores and public beaches reopen.
The governor tweeted on Saturday that he felt South Carolina was ready, and he used a hashtag, AccelerateSC. And this morning we're seeing on social media that people are using that hashtag and twisting its meaning, saying that if they reopen too soon, that this could actually accelerate the spread of the virus.
Iran has begun opening intercity highways and shopping centers. I'm Christopher Cruz. A man hijacked a bus in Dallas yesterday at gunpoint, shot at police officers who tried to stop him.
The bus eventually came to a stop on the George Bush Turnpike in the Dallas suburb of Rowlett after running over deployed spike strips. The suspect was killed in the shootout. Two officers were shot, but are expected to be okay.
Correspondent Clayton Neville, the man reportedly stabbed his girlfriend to death earlier this month in San Antonio, Texas. Police in Nova Scotia are searching for a motive today for a 12-hour-long shooting rampage over the weekend, the deadliest in Canada's history. A 51-year-old man disguised as a police officer shot people in their homes and set fires, killing at least 16 people. The 51-year-old gunman is dead, as is a policewoman. Some parts of the Deep South are still under tornado watches this morning. Tornadoes still possible for parts of Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia, and South Carolina. Yesterday and overnight, severe storms plowed through a wide swath of the Deep South. I'm Christopher Cruz.
Maybe you can relate to this. A lot of people think they're stuck with their health plan. It costs too much, or for whatever reason, they just don't like it. The great news, you are not stuck with it. There is a choice. It's called MediShare, and you could save so much. The typical savings for a family is $500 a month. Major difference maker. This is the affordable alternative to health insurance. And just to give you a little more info about MediShare, it's a Christian healthcare sharing ministry. It's worked beautifully for 26 years, has more than 400,000 members, and they've shared over $3 billion of each other's medical bills. So, yes, they can help share your needs too. So you're not stuck. There's an excellent alternative. Whether you're single or married, you got a family, MediShare is super flexible. You can choose an option that works for you and start saving lots of money. You can join anytime. They're great to talk to. No pressure. Call 844-91-BIBLE. That's 844-91-BIBLE. 844-91-BIBLE.
AC technicians know ACs break down at the worst time. That's why our technicians love our York air conditioners and heat pumps with a 10-year parts and labor warranty. The cheapest is always the costliest. A true AC provides service today and tomorrow. Ask our techs about our York 10-year parts and labor warranties or call us at 329-7384.
Give Air Central a call or just log on to acyuma.com.
Weather is brought to you by Ed Whitehead's Tire Pros, serving Arizona for over 20 years.
News, talk, sports, and up-to-date weather from 560 KBLU.
Sunny and 86 today, clear and 60 tonight, west wind at 10. 86 and sunny tomorrow, 63 tomorrow night, northwest wind at 10. And sunny, a 96-degree high on Wednesday.
The following program on 560 KBLU is a paid program. All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBLU, El Dorado Broadcasters, LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU, El Dorado Broadcasters, nor its affiliates, nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated, warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.
Welcome to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by the Decent Garner Law Firm, hosted by attorneys Sean Garner and Adam Hansen.
AM 560 KBLU, Russ Clark with you for Decent Garner Hanson Law Firm. We can't forget Hanson. Miranda Chomas with me. Good morning, ma'am. And I know Adam's on his way.
Yep, he's on his way.
And he's the Hanson.
Yep.
You know, quite often we forget about him because he's been added on.
Yes.
And I know you've been with the company for a long time, and we've been talking all morning about this coronavirus thing.
Yes.
And your office is still pretty much not taking a lot of clients inside.
Not inside. We are basically trying to limit the amount of bodies in our office.
So it's been drive-through.
Right, drive-through. We are doing, the only clients that are allowed in are the ones meeting with the attorneys.
Right.
So you have to have an appointment. But basically, we're open for business.
You guys are still staying busy, though.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, you're still.
That drive-through is quite popular.
Because you're one of those essential businesses. Now, for you personally, are you nervous about all this coronavirus?
Not nervous, just unsure.
Unsure as far as?
Unsure of
devastating, you mean, or?
Not really. So at first, I wasn't too sure how to take it, how seriously to take it. And
okay.
Then I realized, okay, I really do have to take this a little bit more seriously. Yeah. But unsure of, I mean, should I completely stay away from Walmart?
Right. Should you wear a moon suit?
Yeah, exactly.
Do you have a face mask that you wear?
I have a face mask.
You do?
I have gloves, yep.
Do you have one with a nice design?
I have sloths on it.
Sloths on it. I've seen people look like a skull cap when they, you know, skull face. I want one of those.
I've seen some jokes recently where they're putting, like, a hoodie on and then they'll put the pot tops on. So it's their whole face is completely
the whole thing? Yeah, I like it. I like it. And speaking of face cover, Adam's with me.
I can't even cross my legs, but I've got the COVID-15 that I put on here.
COVID-15?
I put on my pants today. I'm like, oh boy, this isn't good.
You put the wrong ones on?
No. They fit last week, I swear.
Is that right?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. If you're anything like me, you put on a little bit of weight.
You've been not going to the gym.
Yeah, we've tried. My wife and I, we were going to the gym prior to this whole ordeal. And,
right. And
obviously, the gyms were one of the first things to be shut down and limited. And so we contacted our gym and we said, hey, can we rent the equipment? And so we've been doing that. Like this morning, for example, we got up and we worked out in the backyard.
Okay.
And it's just not cutting it because, yeah, you can work out all you want, but it's when you're stuffing your face with pie and stuff like
cookies.
That. And bread. My wife, she found a new love of baking bread, homemade bread.
Oh, good.
And, wanting to be prepared for everything, she ground the wheat. And then she took that wheat flour, and then she made bread out of it, and it's delicious, and you can't stop. And so, hence, I've put on about 15 pounds, and no amount of exercise is going to help that.
No, you can't cure
that. Stuff in my face. And I'm with Miranda. It's comical to me to go to, like, Walmart and Lowe's and Home Depot and stuff, because you see these people with, like, their makeshift masks.
Yeah.
That they.
I like
some
of them.
Yeah, it's
more cool.
It's very interesting to me. I love to do it because I'm thinking, okay, somebody, you Googled something, and then you happened upon this idea, oh, just take these napkins and staple them here, do this, that, or the other. And I'm like, looking at this monstrosity on their face, thinking, you think you're safe? And bless your heart, but I don't know if that really cuts the mustard here.
It's not about safety, it's about social commentary.
Yeah, right. And it's really fun to see what people have come up with. They're Darth Vader masks and stuff.
I like some of them.
Homemade masks, yeah.
The Halloween one, they pulled those out.
A couple weeks ago, I mentioned that my family, we busted out the sewing machines and we started sewing our own masks. You know, that's a real big deal right now.
Right.
And a few days ago, my dad, he said, oh, I think we did it wrong. And I said, why? He said, because the flaps are going up and they're supposed to go down. And that's just another example of, like, us amateurs just trying to throw these things together. We look at the pictures online and we try and do this stuff. And I was like, well, does it matter? He said, well, I think so, because now that we have the flaps up, all the bad stuff just sits there and gets caught in those flaps. I'm like, oh, you can't win. You just can't win in this thing. Yeah. So if you're anything like me and my family and us here in the studio, this is an unprecedented time. And the more I think about it, the more I get upset, because I'm just thinking, and we talked about this a couple weeks ago, Russ, when you and I went back and forth on the president's tweet back then. It was about 3M and the masks that they were mandated to produce or else in the president's tweet. And that was just one instance of where we see the government dictating to us how to live our lives. And it's In my lifetime, that's unprecedented, and I never thought it would come up. I'd heard, you know, when I was growing up, I would always hear, especially in church, they would say there would be a day when this was going to happen, and we needed to be prepared for the time when we couldn't assemble, we couldn't go to church physically. And I always thought, well, that's probably because of nuclear fallout, or you got the Russians or the Chinese invading or something like that, and so we couldn't do that. Or we had government officials that were denying us the ability to congregate in a church, something like that. I would have never guessed. I had no idea. This was not on my radar. I would have never guessed that there was some sort of a disease out there that would have prevented us from assembling together as a people. And it's really interesting to see that now, that overnight, literally overnight, boom.
Let me ask you, is this disease the right disease to make that happen?
I've always been fearful. In my biggest fear, and I've told this to my wife, ever since I became a father and I've had kids, my biggest fear, looking forward to the future, hoping that this would never come, my biggest fear was going to be some sort of sickness that was brought about by a bad actor, whether that's, you know, terrorists from the Middle East or from Russia or China, where they brought in or they invaded with some sort of pandemic, some sort of created virus that was just nasty and it was a killer. Is it COVID-19? I don't think so. It might be. I mean, you've got a lot of conspiracy theorists out there, and I can get on board with that sometimes. Where,
but the death rate of COVID-19, according to German scientists now after they studied, is 0.37%.
Yeah, and if you do the math, it's very low.
Yeah.
But it is a killer in some instances. Most of us, I shouldn't say most of us, but the data is showing that a lot of us might have already had or been subjected to it. We're just asymptomatic. Who knows when all this blows over? But again, I think we're learning things that we weren't really prepared for. We talk about the influenza, the Spanish flu, that epidemic that happened many years ago, but that was generations of the past that we haven't experienced. And so this is a new world for us. We can draw upon what happened back then, but at the same time, we are so mobile now. Back when we had the influenza, the Spanish flu epidemic, we weren't as mobile, I would say, right, in order to get across the pond to go to England.
But it happened.
It happened. Yeah, it jumped. It jumped from continent to continent, but it jumped very slowly because you had to take a slow boat, a barge, to get from place to place. And nowadays, we can get over to France, for example, on a Learjet that's in a matter of hours.
Sure.
I was talking to a pilot of over here on the Marine base, and I asked him, well, how fast can you get to Canada? And he said, in a couple hours, depending on the gas. Like, I'll have to gas up. When I'm going that fast, I've got to get more gas, and I'll have to stop for that, but I can get there in a couple hours. He's flying these new stealth jets.
Oh.
And he says it's just like, you sit in the cockpit, and it's like an iPad. You just beep, beep, you push these buttons. Doo, 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 doo.
So you could be a pilot.
Yeah, I could be a pilot one day. He really gave me hope. No, but then I said, well, do you get sick? He said, no. I said, well, have you ever had people? He said, oh, yeah. And I said, is that one of the things that kind of weed people out? Yes. They'll take you up, and they'll do these barrel rolls. They'll do all sorts of stunts. If you can't hold it, you can't be a pilot. You can't hold your food in your tummy while you're doing those types of tricks. You're weeded out, because there's going to come a time when you're pulling such G's that stuff's coming up, and there's nothing you can do about it. But, yeah, so I'm not fit to be a pilot based on my 15 pounds that I put on.
You got to get rid of it.
Number two, yeah, I just don't fit in the cockpit. There was a time, and I've told this story before on the air, that one of my daughters, she was 2 years old at the time, she was teasing one day, like putting a quarter in her mouth, ha, 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 and then we would always say, get that out of your mouth, you're going to choke on that. And then she would run away. And she kept doing that over and over again.
So she swallowed it.
Yeah, yeah. Eventually, one of the kids came in and she said, they're choking, she's choking.
Okay.
So we ran in there and tried to get it out of her. I tried to sweep it out, and apparently you're not supposed to do that anymore. But I tried to do that, and I shoved it down even further.
Nice.
Luckily, it didn't go to the back. It went to the front, and so there was still a little bit of air passing through. We rushed her to the hospital here at YRMC, and they're like, we don't deal with that. You got to go to Phoenix. And so they ordered the helicopter, and at that time, I had a good 100 pounds on me, and in addition to what I weigh now, which is, I only weigh 120 right now, by the way.
Okay, good.
Why are you laughing at that?
Because it's radio, but we can see.
You're not doing Facebook Live today. That's good. But, yeah, I had a good 100 pounds on me, And so they said, well, we've got to get her to Phoenix, like right now, to Phoenix right. Children's Hospital. And we said, okay, well, let me go pack my bag. We don't know if you can go. We're like, what? She's 2 years old. We're not going to send our daughter on a helicopter by herself with pilots and stuff and medical staff to Phoenix Children without one of us.
Yes,
it's either me or my wife going with you. And they said, well, we'll ask the pilot. Okay, you ask the pilot, but I'm going on that helicopter. So I rush home, get my stuff, and I get a phone call from my wife. They want to know how much you weigh. I'm like, 175, you know? It was probably like 280 at that time. It was like 100 pounds off. But I'm like, if whatever I say, it's got to be low so they let me on the helicopter because yeah. I don't want my wife.
Yeah, but we're just all going to crash, but okay.
So I show up to the hospital with my bag, and all right, we're ready to go. And by this time, the pilot's there, and they're like, we're waiting on you. We got to go. And I'm like, I show up. I'm coming through the hall with my backpack on, ready to get on this flight. And the pilot just looks at me up and down from head to toe. And I can just see it on his face, like, you're not 175. Like, not even close, buddy. But he didn't say anything. He's like, all right, let's go and get on that helicopter. And when we're taking off the pad, you know how they have those two pads over at YRMC now? Like, my side of the helicopter was barely lifting off. He's like pulling up on this throttle, full bore, you know, up. And I'm just like, just get it off the ground here. And he's just looking at me like, you're not 175. Struggling, trying to get this sucker off. And my side of the helicopter's like leaning. And, yeah, so that's when I knew I needed to lose weight. And, so I did. I lost a little bit of weight then.
A little.
That experience, yeah.
Like 100 pounds.
But I did get I got a ride to, in a helicopter. That was a fun trip, you know. Under those circumstances, not so much. But at the time, I thought, this is really cool, you know, get this ride on this helicopter. And he handed me, like, this iPad, and we couldn't... You've got these earmuffs on, and it's so loud in this chopper. It's not like a luxury vehicle. It's like, I barely fit. And I'm, like, sitting here in this cockpit, and barely he and I fit, and I've got these earmuffs on. He's got earmuffs on, and he's just, like, gesturing to me and hands me an iPad, and he's, like, pointing at the iPad, and it's a map. And at this time, it's about midnight. It's all dark, so you can't see much. And so I have this iPad with the map and the route to Phoenix Children's, and he's just, like, pointing at it and smiling, like, oh, here you go. Just guide us to where we're going.
You're the navigator?
Like, yeah. Yeah, I guess so.
Okay.
I mean, I don't think he needed me, but he made me feel like he did, which was nice.
Probably make you feel better.
Yeah. And then we got the bill for that flight. I thought it was the coolest experience, and I got the bill for that.
Not so cool.
Not so cool.
Yeah. You got to take a break.
Yeah. So we got to go to break. This is Life, Death, and the Law, 560 AM KBLU. We'll be right back.
More thought-provoking conversation coming up next on Life, Death, and the Law, right here after this.
Hey, Yuma, Dave Ramsey here. If you listen to our show or know anything about us, then you know I only recommend products and services I trust and I believe in. That's why when it comes to protecting your assets and planning for your loved one's future, you've got to call my friends Sean Garner and Adam Hansen at the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen. I encourage you to take the first step and attend a free, no-pressure seminar and learn all of your options. The firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen has been educating the Yuma community for over 40 years, and this is the only area of law that they practice. Sean and Adam believe in giving free education to help people make smart decisions about their assets and help them leave a legacy for their family that they can be proud of. Schedule a free personal consultation today. Call 783-4575 or visit YumaEstatePlanning.com.
Kia of Yuma knows that during these uncertain times, a reliable vehicle is more important than ever. Kia of Yuma is here for you. Here's something special just for you. To make servicing more convenient, they're offering complimentary valet service within 15 miles of Yuma. Just select two of the following services. Schedule your pickup time, and Kia of Yuma will handle the rest. Here are the service specials. A four-wheel alignment with a 12-month warranty for only $49.99. With warmer weather coming, a coolant exchange is recommended. The price, $49.99. If your brakes need attention, they're offering a brake special for $189.95. These services include a complimentary car wash and a thorough wipe down of the interior. Call 344-5345 to schedule your next service and complimentary valet. That's 344-5345. If you have any other repair or maintenance needs, Kia of Yuma is here for you. Call 344-5345. At Kia of Yuma, your safety is number one.
If you're interested in a career in media sales, El Dorado Broadcasters has an opportunity for you. A media sales representative designs multimedia market solutions for their clients, including radio advertising, digital solutions, event sponsorships, and more. If you have experience in outside sales and calling on many different accounts, then you already have a great start into the business. Every business has to advertise. If you have media sales experience, that's even better. This is not a commission-only sales position. We'll give you a salary, train you, and you'll make commissions on your very first sale. If you like what you hear, call 928-344-4980. That's 928-344-4980. Successful media sellers make an excellent living, and with hard work, it won't take long for you to get there. Ready to join the world of media sales? Send your resume to hiremenow@edbroadcasters.com. That's hiremenow@edbroadcasters.com. El Dorado Broadcasters is an equal opportunity employer.
You're listening to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by the Deason Garner Law Firm.
Welcome back to Life, Death, and the Law. This is 560 AM KBLU. I'm attorney Adam Hansen, and I'm in the studio today with the one and only Mr. Russ Clark. And then we've got Miranda as well, helping us, keeping us honest and on task as much as she can. And prior to the break, we were talking about the government restrictions that we're living through at this time, and it's an unprecedented time where we have the government saying, stay at home, we don't want you to spread this virus, we don't want you to get the virus, and trying to keep us safe. But through this whole thing, as the weeks wear on, and I see friends of mine that don't have the ability to work because the government says you can't work. I know a lot of dentists here in town that they're struggling because they can't go into the office unless it's an emergency type procedure.
Yeah.
And when I hear those types of things, I'm thinking that is a government infringement of their rights to do their business. And now you're limiting their ability to bring in an income to pay for their family. And so you've got this dual-edged sword where you want to protect the citizens or the citizenry, and you don't want to... I'll tell you, from a legal standpoint, the government is interested in us as a people, not because of love and things like that, because they care about us, but because we're a taxpayer. And it sounds really, standoffish or harsh. But in reality, in the Supreme Court hearings and cases that have come down, that's really what it comes down to. When the federal government exercises their powers, oftentimes what they'll use is two different clauses in the Constitution, and this is coming through the legislature. So they'll use their tax power, which is very, very broad, and they have a lot of power when it comes to commerce, interstate commerce and things like that. So oftentimes what will happen is when you have a constitutional conflict where the government's saying you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't abort a baby at a certain amount of weeks, or you can, that's where you get into, well, you're infringing on my basic human rights that are protected under the Constitution. Well, the government's going to say, well, you can't abort a baby if we know that it's viable at a certain date, because we have an interest in that baby being born, because to us that's a taxpayer. That's the government's argument. And so if you go back to Roe v. Wade and things like that, the Supreme Court standing, it always comes down to the protection of a person, not because they care if you live or die necessarily, but because they want you to be there to pay taxes. That's an income source to the government. And if you think of the government as an entity, that makes sense. That's their MO. They want their citizenry to be alive and be profitable so that the money can go to the coffers to pay for these social programs. So that's always the government interest, is to keep the taxpayer healthy and alive. So when it comes to this pandemic where we've got individuals that are not healthy and alive because we are contracting these viruses or we're spreading these viruses, they do have an interest in keeping us healthy because they want us to continue to pay taxes. They also want commerce to continue to go, and so they've got these conflicting issues that are happening at the federal level. They've also got sovereignty issues with the states. The states are, from the very beginning, sovereigns, and they should be sovereigns, and that's the way the Constitution was set up by our founding fathers. However, having said that, that sovereignty does not infringe upon the basic law of the Constitution. That's the way our founding documents were set up, and that's the way that we've been operating for hundreds of years now, over 200 years since our Constitution was put in place. And so when you have governors like up in the state of Michigan, where she's saying, well, I don't care what the Constitution says. I'm a sovereign state, and I'm going to tell my citizenry what to do. You can to a certain point, but there comes a point where when you start stepping on the federal Constitution or you're infringing on that, it becomes unconstitutional, and no state can do that. A good example of that would have been the Miranda rights. So back in the 60s when this came out of, it's funny, when I went to law school, a lot of the cases came out of Arizona. That we consider ourselves the Wild West, but a lot of the things that we have today in our law were cases that arose from Arizona that went to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court said this, that, or the other. This is the law. This is how it's going to come down. One of those cases was Miranda. Miranda was he was an illegal immigrant, and he abused a little girl. I can't remember the exact facts, but it was really nasty. And the police apprehended him, and they took him back to the station and just started, you know, grilling him. They needed to get the information. Did you do it? Did you not? And they went to town with that interrogation. And he was unsophisticated. He didn't speak the language, English language, very well. And in the end of that interrogation, he said he murdered this girl, and this little girl that he raped and killed. And so, as bad as the guy was, once he got put into jail, into prison, he had a lawyer appeal that. And it went all the way to the Supreme Court, and that's where we got the Miranda rights. The Miranda rights came out of that Supreme Court hearing. They said it doesn't matter. Basically, all humans have the right to know what they can do, what rights are available to them, the right to counsel, for example, the right to remain silent. And so they enumerated in that particular Supreme Court case what we call the Miranda rights now, because it came out of that 60s case from Arizona, from this guy that was prosecuted. And so when you put those things together, Arizona at that time, those police, which was the state actor, Arizona State Police, that was the state actor there, they interrogated the guy such that they were able to elicit his confession. But the Supreme Court says that's no good, it's tainted, it's fruit from the poisonous tree, meaning you got to throw that evidence out. Even if he did confess, you can't use it in a court of law because you elicited it in a way that was infringing on his basic rights. He didn't know what his rights were, you didn't tell him what his rights were, and therefore it's no good. You can't use that in a court of law. Even if you've got the smoking gun, you can't use it now because you failed to give him his rights, read him his rights, and we call those the Miranda rights. So nowadays, when a policeman, remember this, Russ, when you got stopped by the police?
Oh, yeah, yeah, you have the right to remain silent.
They cuffed you?
Yeah, I got it.
No, I'm teasing. You're just trying to forget that, right? No, but nowadays, when they start to handcuff you, that's a problem. It's a problem, yeah, because you're now being handcuffed. But they won't, that's what we call being detained. And if they start to handcuff you, you've crossed the line in their mind, because to that point, you've got a lot of freedom. You say, no, I'm going to keep moving unless you have some reason to keep me here and stop me. You have a reason for that. And I'm not giving you legal advice over the radio now, but there are limits to what the police can actually do. And a lot of people don't know that. But if they start to cuff you and they say, sit here, and they start to cuff you, now you're being detained and it's changed. Your rights have changed and they've got a lot of power there. But until that point, you have the right to ask them, why are you doing it? Why am I stopped? Mm-hmm. And those types of things. But once it comes to the point where they feel like, okay, you've actually infringed on something, or you violated something such that we need to detain you, they're going to start to cuff you, or they're going to keep you in a spot with a canine unit or with the handcuffs kind
of thing. Backseat of a car.
Yep. And at that point, when they start saying you have the right to remain silent, you have the right to counsel, if you don't have that right, if you don't have counsel, we can provide that for you. If they start saying that to you, that means that they're going to start to interrogate you. They're getting that out of the way so that once they start to question you, they can say in their paperwork, we Mirandized that person, and anything that they said to us is fair game at that point. And we can use that against them.
And we call it Mirandized. And that was the guy's name, Ernesto
Miranda. Mm-hmm. That's why the case was...
Bad guy. We still use his name.
Yeah, and when you read that case, it's really interesting because it created this system that we have today, but I like the result. I like the result of this bad guy being put away. But at the same time, it really did bring about a way for us to protect ourselves from a government entity. I'm all for the blue, for the police.
Sure.
Obviously, we need to have the police.
Sure.
But there are, in law school, we read over these criminal law cases where oftentimes the police are overstepping their power or their bounds, and so we have to be careful there.
No.
I know, it's hard to believe. Not here in Yuma. Yuma has awesome police.
Great.
But there have been cases where abuses of power have happened, and luckily we have the Constitution to keep those things in check. And in this case of Miranda, that's what happened. So this is a good example of the state's sovereignty being overpowered by the federal Constitution. So when you have a governor in a particular state saying, I'm not going to listen to what the president says, or I'm not going to do this, that, or the other, you can do that to a certain extent, but when it all comes down to it, there's going to be a point where it's going to be tested in the court system if you overstep your state sovereignty bounds. And oftentimes that's in the commerce realm, and oftentimes that's in the taxing realm. And, even in immigration. Immigration is exclusively held by the federal agencies. And we'll get back to that in just a minute. This is Life, Death, and the Law, 560 AM KBLU.
Have a question? Our phone lines are open. Call 344-5258. That's 344-KBLU.
Hey, Yuma, Dave Ramsey here. If you listen to our show or know anything about us, then you know I only recommend products and services I trust and I believe in. That's why when it comes to protecting your assets and planning for your loved one's future, you've got to call my friends Sean Garner and Adam Hansen at the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen. I encourage you to take the first step and attend a free, no-pressure seminar and learn all of your options. The firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen has been educating the Yuma community for over 40 years, and this is the only area of law that they practice. Sean and Adam believe in giving free education to help people make smart decisions about their assets and help them leave a legacy for their family that they can be proud of. Schedule a free personal consultation today. Call 783-4575 or visit YumaEstatePlanning.com.
Hello, I am the local owner and operator of Lapel's Dry Cleaning. The impact of the current health crisis is affecting us all, as individuals and as small businesses. As a cleaning facility, Lapel's is considered an essential service, and our doors will remain open. You may know Lapel's is the only 100% environmentally friendly cleaning system in Yuma. What you may not know is we clean items at temperatures you cannot reach at home or in a laundromat. Temperatures that kill any bacteria, including the COVID-19 virus. We are offering a 20% discount on all bedding items, all military and first responder uniforms at our regular 10% off, and as always, free pickup and delivery, so you do not have to leave your home. You can reach Lapel's Dry Cleaning at 928-259-7350. We are here for our community in this trying time. Thank you for supporting locally owned businesses, and stay safe.
AC technicians know ACs break down at the worst time. That's why our technicians love our York air conditioners and heat pumps with a 10-year parts and labor warranty. The cheapest is always the costliest. A true AC provides service today and tomorrow. Ask our techs about our York 10-year parts and labor warranties or call us at 329-7384.
Give Air Central a call or just log on to acyuma.com.
Morning News is brought to you by Sprague Sports on 32nd Street.
Yuma's hunting and shooting headquarters and responsible gun ownership since 1956.
Sprague Sports is Yuma's hunting and shooting headquarters. Why? Because Sprague Sports is the difference. Where else can you buy, sell, trade, or consign firearms with free expert appraisals always? There is nothing like Sprague Sports. And with local price matching, you can buy with confidence at Sprague's. And all Sprague's firearms come with a lifetime warranty. And talk about customer service. There's a gunsmith always on duty. Sprague's is your Remington warranty center. And when you need it, there's expert one-day sight-in service. But that's not all. Sprague Sports has got training courses, including Arizona CCW, First Shot, Hunter Education, and more. Sprague handles Glock, Blue Label pistols, and is your NFA dealer in suppressors and full autos. That's why we call them the experts. And Sprague's is Yuma's Yeti headquarters. The best Yeti selection and free ice for life. Sprague's has a 10-lane, rifle-certified indoor shooting range and gun rentals. You can try before you buy. Serving Yuma's shooting and outdoor needs since 1956. That's the Sprague's difference. Sprague's, 32nd Street, next to Lowe's.
You're listening to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by the Deason Garner Law Firm.
Welcome back to Life, Death, and the Law. I'm attorney Adam Hansen. This is 560 AM KBLU, and I'm in the studio today with the one and only Mr. Russ Clark. And
good
then
we've
got Miranda taking phone calls, making sure that we're on task and things like that. It's going to be a nice day. It's getting warm. I don't know if you guys noticed yesterday, but we were outside most of the day with the family on Sunday. And today it's forecasted to be a high of 86. Right now it's about 70 degrees out there and sunny, beautiful. The wind is non-existent, basically. It's nice and still. And it's going to start warming up here. I think my wife was telling me yesterday that the forecast for this week was going to be up in around the mid-90s. So get prepared for the heat wave. Here it comes.
But that's good for the coronavirus.
That's what my thought was, too. Mm-hmm. The warmer it gets, supposedly it's supposed to, the vitamin D is supposed to...
D's from sunlight. Got to get out in it.
Right. It's going to ward off some of these virus effects that might come up. Prior to the break, we were talking about the sovereignty of the states and the federal government and how that interplay goes back and forth. I mentioned that. Oftentimes, the federal government will use two basic powers that are enumerated in the Constitution, and that is their taxing power, and then they've also got their commerce power. Through time, the commerce power has been really overarching and very general, and they stuff a lot of stuff through with that, and the taxing power as well. And
but the commerce power is really across state lines, not in the state, but across state lines, and so they have to stretch it to make sure it's going to affect the commerce for across state lines.
Yeah, absolutely. So that interstate commerce clause in the Constitution gives them a lot of leeway. And nowadays, most stuff crosses the border when it comes to commerce. And
right.
So the legislature will use that commerce clause as an overarching kind of catch-all.
Right.
Oh, we're putting this through, or we're going to do this, that, or the other because of the commerce. But the commerce clause allows us to do that. Or the taxing power. Back in the day, what was that case? This was a recent case. I was in law school at the time that it came down. Was it the, what was it? I didn't agree with it. It was horrible, the outcome of it. But they ultimately put it under Obamacare.
Okay.
Yeah, Obamacare.
For a reason.
Yeah, so the Obama administration, they pushed through Obamacare, and it was kind of like a back-end, fly-by-night type legislature. That went through, and then they got sued, obviously, by the state, saying, we don't want to get on board with that. You're forcing us to do this or not to participate. And it was unprecedented where you're saying that you have to participate in commerce. And when that all came down, it was really interesting because the chief judge, Justice Roberts of the Supreme Court, who is a conservative, he was appointed by Bush, he sided with the government in that particular case, and the reason why is because he reduced it down to a tax argument, that the federal government has the ability to tax people, and if you don't have health insurance, what was written into that law, Obamacare, was that if you don't have health insurance in a given year, then you have to pay a fine. And what the states were arguing was that that's unprecedented. You cannot force us to be in the realm of commerce if we don't want to, and then fine us for that. That's unprecedented. But Chief Justice Roberts sided with the majority in that particular case and said, actually, the government can. And he put what was really interesting was, and a lot of, he got a lot of flack for this because he's known to be a conservative, but he upheld Obamacare, and so a lot of conservatives got very upset with him. But the way that he did it, if you really read it and the nuances of it, was very, very smart of him. He was able to do it in such a way that it didn't fit under the Commerce Clause, which would have been detrimental to the rest of us in a certain way. Right. He tucked it under the taxing system, which the taxing powers, which made it a lot more narrow, which was good for us as a citizenry because that allowed for future cases not to be so broad under the Commerce Power. So even though I didn't agree with the way that they came to that conclusion, I was very happy with the way that he still allowed it to go forward, but limited it, its ability to open up the floodgates basically under the Commerce Power. So having said that, what does that mean to you and I here in the pandemic day and age where the government says stay at home or else? And I haven't really heard that. I mean, like, for example, those that are not exempted by the governor and his executive order, Governor Ducey's executive order, says, well, some of these industries can go to business and do business on a day-to-day basis, but some of them can't. For example, the medical world, only if it's an emergency procedure. I was talking to a gal over the weekend who said, yeah, I was going to have the surgery done on my knee, but they considered it an elective surgery, so I can't get that done now. I've got to wait. And I thought, your knee surgery is an elective surgery?
It's
very interesting the way that that comes down. And I'm thinking, well, I'm exempted as an attorney. I can go to my office and I can practice law all day because that's what the governor said. So I just don't understand the idea that you've got this leader that's saying, okay, you're good, you're not. You're good, you're not. You can't go to the movies at Harkins, but you can go over here and go to the law firm, which I'm so happy that people can come and, to my
sure.
business and we can continue to service our clients. But I really feel bad for friends of mine that are physicians or dentists, for example, that can only do their job if it's deemed an emergency.
Certain procedures, very few.
So my argument to them, and of course I don't have to worry because I'm not in that boat, but I get fired up about it and I'll say something like, dude, just go do it. Like, what are they going to do about it? And they are like, well, the dental board or the medical board is going to suspend my license. I'm like, well, they can't suspend every doctor's license or every dentist's license. Like, they cannot prevent you from going and doing your work and providing. That is unprecedented to me.
Right.
And, of course, from my standpoint, I don't have to worry because I'm not in that boat. So I can
give
them
this
advice all
the time. That's why they didn't shut the lawyers down, because that's what you guys have been doing.
And I'm saying that is completely unconstitutional.
Sure.
They cannot force you out of business like that. And that's really what they've done, is they forced businesses out of business because they can't go to work. And
right.
they said that you can't go to work. And I'm thinking that's not right. If I want to go to work, I have that right to under the Constitution to do that, even if it is a pandemic. And I have the freedom to choose. Maybe I'll go to work because I need to provide, and maybe I won't because I don't want to get the coronavirus. But I want that choice. I don't want the government to tell me what to do, and that's what the Constitution allows us to do. And the basic principles of our Constitution, our federal Constitution, says that we have the freedom to assemble, the freedom to religion, and amongst other enumerated things, which aren't a lot in the Constitution, but those are enumerated. And so when you have a governor saying you can't do this, you can't do that, and I think Governor Ducey's been a fantastic example of leadership here, because if you notice what he's done executive orders, but they don't have a lot of teeth to them, and it's more of like a suggestion. And that's why when I'm talking to my friends that are physicians or dentists or other people that are, you know, not exempted by his executive order back in March that don't allow them to go to business and work for themselves, I'm telling them, really, what's going to happen? Like, they say you go and you go to the office and you start practicing just like normal. You know, what are they going to do? Well, they might pull my dental license or my medical license. Well, if you do it and your friend does it and everybody else does it, what are they going to do? They're going to just suspend all physicians and all dentists in the state of Arizona? It's not going to happen. So, you know, grow some cojones and let's go do it. That's right.
That's wonderful.
Which again, it's easy for me to say, sit here on my high horse when it's not my problem. But I really do feel for them, and I hope that this gets resolved soon and we don't have to worry about it. But when it comes down to the constitutionality of that thing, of those orders, those executive orders, I personally don't believe they have a lot of teeth. If you read through governor's orders, He says you can't, you know, don't do this and don't do that and things like that. But then there's no repercussion if you do.
Right.
So, okay, thanks for the suggestion, but I'm going to continue.
6 years in jail or anything.
Yeah, exactly like that. If he tied some sort of penalty to that in some particular way, now we've
still
got
wouldn't be constitutional.
Now we've got constitutional issues. Now we're really walking a fine line, and I think that's why he hasn't done it. Not only that, but because he's a businessman. You know, he was the founder of Cold Stone, which I went to last Friday, hence the 15 pounds on me. But, yeah, I continue to support Cold Stone. And I went in there, and if you go to the mall these days, it's like a ghost town. You see the tumbleweeds just like
terrible.
Blowing through the streets. But Cold Stone's there, and I went right in and ordered my ice cream just like usual. I just couldn't sit down and things like that. But I'm trying to frequent these places in the sense that I want to patronize them to give them more money because I know that they're hurting right now, and I want them to be there when this all blows over so that when we go to the movies after all this happens, I can still get my ice cream and they're not out of business. But that's why we continue to do that. And I wore a mask, I had gloves on and things like that, but still, I want to show them that we're supporting them. So what does it mean to Cold Stone and these other businesses? We'll talk about that in just a minute. We've got to go to a break. This is 560 AM KBLU, Life, Death, and the Law.
Have a question? Our phone lines are open. Call 344-5258. That's 344-KBLU.
Hey, Yuma, Dave Ramsey here. If you listen to our show or know anything about us, then you know I only recommend products and services I trust and I believe in. That's why when it comes to protecting your assets and planning for your loved one's future, you've got to call my friends Sean Garner and Adam Hansen at the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen. I encourage you to take the first step and attend a free, no-pressure seminar and learn all of your options. The firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen has been educating the Yuma community for over 40 years, and this is the only area of law that they practice. Sean and Adam believe in giving free education to help people make smart decisions about their assets and help them leave a legacy for their family that they can be proud of. Schedule a free personal consultation today. Call 783-4575 or visit YumaEstatePlanning.com.
Your two-bedroom home when you first got married.
This bedroom will make the perfect office.
Your two-bedroom home after your first child.
I can work out of the bedroom. It won't be that bad.
Your two-bedroom home after kid number two.
Honey, are we going to have to sleep on the couch?
Don't move. Improve.
Maybe you don't love your home as much as you did when you first bought it. As your family grows, you outgrow your home. As we spend more time at home during this health crisis, you become more aware of things you need to enhance your home. Kitchen too small and outdated? You might need to add a bathroom or extra bedroom. Whatever your need, Sunnyside Construction has you covered. Now is the perfect time to create the home your family deserves. Call Sunnyside Construction at 785-2285. That's 785-2285. Or visit them online at azsunnyside.com. Ask for the KBLU special, available only to KBLU listeners.
If you're interested in a career in media sales, El Dorado Broadcasters has an opportunity for you. A media sales representative designs multimedia market solutions for their clients, including radio advertising, digital solutions, event sponsorships, and more. If you have experience in outside sales and calling on many different accounts, then you already have a great start into the business. Every business has to advertise. If you have media sales experience, that's even better. This is not a commission-only sales position. We'll give you a salary, train you, and you'll make commissions on your very first sale. If you like what you hear, call 928-344-4980. That's 928-344-4980. Successful media sellers make an excellent living, and with hard work, it won't take long for you to get there. Ready to join the world of media sales? Send your resume to hiremenow at edbroadcasters.com. That's hiremenow at edbroadcasters.com. El Dorado Broadcasters is an equal opportunity employer.
Sprague Sports is Yuma's hunting and shooting headquarters.
Sports. Why? Because Sprague Sports is the difference. Where else can you buy, sell, trade, or consign firearms with free expert appraisals always? There is nothing like Sprague Sports. And with local price matching, you can buy with confidence at Sprague's. And all Sprague's firearms come with a lifetime warranty. And talk about customer service. There's a gunsmith always on duty. Sprague's is your Remington warranty center, and when you need it, there's expert one-day sight-in service. But that's not all. Sprague Sports has got training courses, including Arizona CCW, First Shot, Hunter Education, and more. Sprague handles Glock, Blue Label pistols, and is your NFA dealer in suppressors and full autos. That's why we call them the experts. And Sprague's is Yuma's Yeti headquarters. The best Yeti selection and free ice for life. Sprague's has a 10-lane, rifle-certified indoor shooting range and gun rentals. You can try before you buy. Serving Yuma's shooting and outdoor needs since 1956. That's the Sprague's difference. Sprague's, 32nd Street, next to Lowe's.
You're listening to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by the Decent Garner Law Firm.
Welcome back to Life, Death, and the Law. I'm Attorney Adam Hansen. I'm in the studio today with the one and only Mr. Russ Clark, and we've got Miranda handling phone calls and keeping us honest. I think we've got a caller on the line. Russ, you want to take that?
You're on the air.
Good morning.
Russ.
Hey, buddy.
Russ, this is Ken.
Yeah, man.
I wanted to share with you, when I was out of college, I was a police officer in Phoenix, and I had frequent contact with Ernesto Miranda.
Ooh.
Oh, man.
Good contact.
Nice guy.
He was supposedly a farm worker, but he was actually a heroin dealer. And he sold black tar heroin, and I surveilled him from rooftop several times. He had an old, well, not an old at that time, he had a suicide door Thunderbird, and he would pop the trunk and open his ammo box and had his black tar heroin wrapped in aluminum foil, and his customers would walk up and he would sell them. After his parole in 72, he considered himself a real star. He was a celebrity, he thought.
Yeah.
He sold little cards, Ernesto Miranda celebrity cards. And
how many of those do you have?
Pardon me? I didn't buy any.
You had enough experience with him.
I refused to do business with him, actually. But he marched around there, and he later, about 76 or so, somebody stabbed him in a card game and killed him.
Mm-hmm.
But he had several arrests after he was paroled. And that started out with Arizona versus Miranda, and then it became U.S. versus
mm-hmm.
Miranda. He had a real high-powered attorney, John Flynn, in Phoenix, and it was a real high-profile case. But Ernesto was not a good guy by any means.
Right.
Yeah, and I've often wondered, why did we... Obviously, we named the Miranda rights after him because of the case and went to the U.S. Supreme Court and things like that, but there's got to be a better name for it.
Yes. He didn't warrant that much attention.
Exactly. And that's kind of why it always rubs me wrong when you talk about the Miranda rights, because it was not he was not a good guy. And,
But
it is what it is, and we can't really get over it. Well, thanks for calling in, Ken. And that brought up another issue. He mentioned that he would surveil him from the rooftops. We had a caller last segment that unfortunately we weren't able to take his call on the air, but he asked, when I got stopped by the sheriff was filming me, he was recording me, is that constitutional? Can he do that? And the police can record you. They can, if you're in the public eye, meaning if you're driving on the streets and I can see you, the police can record you. They can see you. You're in the public eye. You have no right to privacy in that particular sense. And so when Ken called in and he said, I surveilled from the rooftops, it's the same concept. Ernesto Miranda did not have a right to privacy if the government could get up high enough to see over the fence or see down and see him. They're not violating his right of privacy, because I can do that.
Yep. You're in a
Russ,
public square.
You can do that.
Yeah,
it's a public view, and what's in the public view you don't have a right to privacy of. So if a person gets pulled over, for example, by a sheriff, and they got this chest cam on, that's totally legit. They can do that. They can film you. And it's for their protection, probably more so than it is for yours, because of what's going on nowadays, where you've got a lot of anti-police, which I don't agree with, but at the same time, it is protecting them. It's protecting you as well. We want to make sure that everybody is protected and that your rights are being protected. And so those chest cams are, I think, are a good thing. Yeah, it's a real good thing. But what he can't do is say, pop open your trunk, I want to see what you got in the trunk. You've got to have probable cause in some particular way. And so once the policeman starts to go a little bit beyond what he can see through your windows, if he sees some black tar heroin in the back seat or something that looks like it, now he's going to have probable cause to search the vehicle. And so he's going to say, I need you to pop the trunk. I can see that you've got some paraphernalia right here. Pop the trunk. And that person can say, no, I'm not going to do that. He said, get out of the vehicle. Now you're going to be under arrest. And I'm going to get into the trunk.
And you get your Miranda rights.
Now you get Mirandized. Yeah, exactly. So they can use probable cause with what they can see. So if he can see into the windows of your car and see that there's...
Or if they hear the woman crying in the trunk.
If you hear something, some sort of probable cause such that they can ask you some more questions, and you can still deny, no, I'm not going to pop my trunk. I'm not going to pop my glove box. The glove box is a different issue. It's really interesting how the laws come out over time in these issues, but generally they can get into the glove box because the idea there is that a person could have a gun in there and that could harm somebody, if not the officer, or somebody else. And so there's an expediency there to be able to see into your glove box. So oftentimes if they ask to see into your glove box, that's going to be constitutional. Even though they can't see into it with their eyes without it being popped open, the idea there is that you could have something that could harm somebody, and so usually probable cause can extend to your glove box, but not so much your trunk. Your trunk is a little bit more private when it comes to the law.
Because it's not accessible.
It's not accessible. It's harder to get. They'd have to get out of their vehicle, go around, put in the clips in their trunk, pull out this rifle, put the clips in, and there's more privacy in your trunk than there is in your glove box or under your seat, for example. But if an officer can see in there, and that gives them probable cause such that they say, I need to see in your trunk, or I need to see under your seats, I need to see in the back seat a little bit more, they might have it if they start to see stuff that's leading them down this road. Now, let's say that they do that without asking the question, can I see in your glove box? Can I see underneath your seats? Can you open this door for me? And they say, pop your trunk, without giving you a reason or without some sort of probable cause. And then they find cocaine in the back trunk, even if they prosecute you, that's going to be thrown out. It's like it didn't happen because
they shouldn't have been able to see.
They obtained that without some sort of probable cause, and that's what we call fruit of the poisonous tree. That's the doctrine when it comes to constitutionality. It's unconstitutional. You violated the right of privacy of that individual. So anything that flows from that particular stop, getting into that trunk with the cocaine, if they didn't ask or they didn't have probable cause to get into the trunk and then they found this illegal substance, it all gets thrown out. It's like it didn't happen in that court case.
So if the police wiretap somebody, but they find out later it's an illegal wiretap, doesn't matter if they were doing drug deals or whatever.
Right. It's going to be thrown out to a certain extent. They're going to look for other ways. And judges are very good about finding other ways to get this bad guy because we want to get the bad guys. But on its face,
they
just like in Miranda,
you can't use that.
Miranda's stuff got thrown out all the way to the Supreme Court. So if you have questions about any legal issues, preferably in my office, we handle things like designing an estate plan that will keep you out of the court system. It's not a place where you want to be. You don't want your family in that court system. We call it probate. And it can happen while you're alive. It can happen when you pass away. While you're alive, if you were to lose your capacity to go to the bank, for example, or to do things on your behalf because your health doesn't permit it or your physical abilities don't allow it, you're going to need help. And usually that comes in the form of a guardianship, conservatorship type action in court. I would encourage you, if you don't have planning or even if you do and you need it reviewed, call my office at 928-783-4575. Sit down with myself or with my partner, Sean Garner, and we can go over what your family needs and we can get you taken care of, make sure that you're protected and your family's protected and you can avoid court processes. We'll be back next Monday. This is Life, Death, and the Law, 550 AM, KADLU.
If you have questions or want to know more about something that was discussed today, please call the Deason Garner Law Firm at 928-783-4575 or visit YumaEstatePlanning.com.
preceding show on 560 KBLU was a paid program. All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBLU, El Dorado Broadcasters LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU, El Dorado Broadcasters LLC, nor its affiliates, nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated, warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.
From the 1 Hour Air Conditioning and Heating Studio, this is News Talk 560 KBLU.